Okay, welcome back into the broadcast here today. We're sitting over here at the 2015 Truth for a New Generation Conference and came by the table that is set up here for the Discovery Institute. Dr. Stephen Meyer had spoken this morning, and he is scheduled to speak here in just a few moments as well. So we've got him together for just maybe a 15-20 minute interview to talk with him about a couple of the things that are going on, some of the projects that he's been working on. Specifically today, I wanted to talk about the project that he did a little while ago. It's been out for a little bit, but it was the project dealing with the True You. True You is a kind of the follow-up from the Truth Project. A lot of folks are familiar with Del Tackett. He'll also be speaking here in a little while as well. But Del Tackett and the Truth Project, well, there was a second project that was done afterwards, and that was referred to as True You. Do you remember the question that was asked during the Truth Project? Del asked the question, do you really believe that what you really believe is really real? Well, that's kind of the tagline that is used with the True You. And it says this, does God exist? Can we prove the existence of God? Or are we left to grapple in the dark and to take blind leaps of faith about what we believe? Says here, in the truth, in True You, Does God Exist? Dr. Stephen Meyer plays a sort of philosophical survival game, pitting four worldviews against one another in a quest to decide which one gives the best answers. That's what we wanted to talk to Dr. Meyer about today. Dr. Meyer, thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
It's great to be with you, actually, in person. We've talked over the phone lines so many times. It's great to put a
Well, I really enjoyed your ministry. Saw you at Ligonier Ministries when you spoke there. Kind of been following your ministry quite a bit. Saw the Truth Project just recently and saw the segments in there that you did. So really looking forward to looking at the True You. We're hoping to show it at our church and so forth. And so glad that we could get you on to talk a little bit about it. You start off with a simple but yet profound question. What is faith? In the opening of True You. Tell us a little bit about what our listeners would see if they purchase a copy of this.
for us, what science can do for us, and what it can't, mm-hmm. and to place appropriate limits on that, but also affirm the importance of reason in the life of anyone investigating the big questions, and particularly believers who have come to answer the big questions in terms that the Bible would affirm.
Mm-hmm. Second takeaway that I would have from what you just said is the point that Christianity is rational. It's not just a fuzzy feeling about something, right? There are rational propositional statements and arguments associated with Christianity.
Well, absolutely. And Christianity is in some ways unique among world religions in that it also bases much of its theological claims upon historical claims. So the Bible purports to be the revelation of God in time and space and history, and therefore it makes testable claims about what happened in history. And so in a second set of lectures for this True You project, I looked at the evidence for the historical reliability of the biblical text, starting with all the way back to Genesis with Abraham and going right through different periods of biblical history showing that there's right up to the New Testament, showing that there's extensive extra-biblical evidence from documentary history and archaeology corroborating the basic narrative of those affirms that a mind was involved, it can't tell us the identity of that designing mind. But people want to know. The people are curious. I'm curious. I'm a philosopher as well as a scientist. And I think when you bring other considerations to bear, like the evidence from cosmology, the evidence from fine-tuning, I think you can make a strong case that the designing intelligence responsible for the whole ensemble of evidence that we're looking at, not just in biology but also in cosmology and physics, has the attributes that Jews and Christians have long ascribed to God. So what I would say is the theory of intelligent design is based on scientific evidence. It leads to a conclusion which doesn't specify the designer, but it has implications that lead in that direction. Mm-hmm. And when it's conjoined with, when the biological evidence is conjoined with other evidence, I think you can make a strong case for theistic belief, for theistic design, and that's what I do in the True You series.
Tell us a little bit about your latest Debating Darwin's Doubt book that came out. Why that's kind of like a follow-up from one of your other books. Tell us, just briefly explain what that is.
Yeah, sure. We had a lot of fun. I published a book in 2013 and an updated second edition in 2014 called Debating, or it's called Darwin's Doubt. And the book has proven to inspire a lot of response from reviewers and publications and on the online sites. We've had almost 700 reviews of Darwin's Doubt on the Amazon site alone. So there's been a lot of give and take back and forth, people who have liked the book, people who have not liked the book, and we have very conscientiously responded to the substantive critics of the book on scientific matters. And the Debating Darwin's Doubt is a new release that we've brought out this summer that has 10 essays or articles, responses that I've written, but another 30 or so from my scientific colleagues at the Discovery Institute, molecular biologists, developmental biologists, people who have specialties in different areas. And so we've compiled all those under one cover to make what we hope is a decisive refutation of the critics. We actually really appreciate the reaction that we've had to the book, because we think one of the problems in science, especially around these controversial subjects, is there's way too much groupthink, and that people don't feel free to raise criticisms with, for example, Darwinism. So we welcome the criticisms of this book and thought that that advances the scientific conversation, opens these topics up for intellectual scrutiny, as they are very much deserving of that. And then we responded, and we hope that advances the discussion further. One of the key issues that was raised in the book was the issue of the origin of the information necessary to build the new forms of animal life that arise in an event called the Cambrian explosion. I'll be talking about that at the conference here in a bit. And there were very few of our critics who attempted to take that central argument on. One did, but in so doing, I think he actually exposed the weakness of the Darwinian case. I was a very prominent paleontologist and evolutionary biologist at University of California, Berkeley, and in his response to the argument in Darwin's Doubt, he wrote a review in the journal Science and said, look, Meyer raises this problem of the origin of information. He says, he claims that you need a lot of new information to build these new animal forms that arise in the fossil record. He says, that's not our current understanding. All we would need, he said, is to rewire the networks of genes that control the expression of other already existing genes. And I was delighted at that response, because networks of genes are networks of sections of DNA that have a lot of digital information stored in them. And so to answer the argument about the origin of information, he just presupposed several sources, in fact, of pre-existing unexplained genetic information, which actually shows that they don't have an explanation for where the information needed for new forms of life comes from, and instead they're just pushing the problem back.
Hosea says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. It seemed that his illustration there kind of destroyed his own argument about information, you know, that now pointed to more multiple sources of that information being there.
It was what logicians call question begging. He begged the question of the origin of the information in these networks of genes and in the genes that the networks of genes act upon. So,
excellent. Yeah. Are you encouraged by the number of people that are showing an interest in intelligent design? And it seems to me that one of the main messages that we learn from your talks and so forth is we don't need to be afraid of the evidence. We don't need to be afraid of the arguments that are taking place. We have, if we understand what is being said and we understand what the data is actually telling us, we have a really good platform in order to share what we know and to bring people to the knowledge of the truth.
Well, answer the first question. Yes, I'm very encouraged by the worldwide interest in the evidence for intelligent design, the theory of intelligent design, the work we're doing. There are young people that, young scientists who especially are open to it, and we have groups of students who come through our institute every summer who are coming to our summer seminar, and they go on to be postdocs and professors, and so I just think there's a real shift taking place. The materialistic perspective on science that we've inherited from the late 19th century, Darwin, Marx, Freud, I think it's a spent force. And many of the, say, older generation of establishment scientists are still defending it. The new atheists are certainly defending it, but I don't think they really understand the tidal wave of evidence that has come to refute those simplistic concepts. So I'm really encouraged on that front. And I think for people of religious faith, there's been a kind of a tendency to kind of avoid discussions like this, a little sticking the head in the sand and saying, well, we don't want to engage these kind of things. Maybe there's some intellectual insecurity, and I think just maybe a personal message, something that's, I think, a strong conviction in me is that that's completely unnecessary, that people who believe in God have every reason to be confident that the world looks the way it should look if such a belief were true.
Well said. Really appreciate you taking the time out to talk with us today. I want to give the listening audience just a couple of websites where they can find out the information. But thank you so much for being with us today.
It's great to be with you, Kevin. Yeah, absolutely. And to be in person again, a lot of fun.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Let me just tell you really quickly here over the couple of the resources that we were talking about. The one that's produced by Focus on the Family is called, this one is called Does God Exist? It's part of the True You series from Focus on the Family. You can go out to their website in order to find out how you can get a copy of that particular material. The second one that we referred to towards the end, the book was entitled Debating Darwin's Doubt, and you can go out to the Discovery Institute website in order to find out more about that resource. That's www.discovery.org. Once again, www.discovery.org.
Kevin, I might mention just one other thing, and that is that the website for the original book, Darwin's Doubt, is probably the best trove of material. Mm-hmm. We have animations, we have video debates that I've done, videoed interviews on things like C-SPAN Book TV, and it's a really good entree to this whole subject. So, and that's just darwinsdoubt.com.
Excellent. So glad that you mentioned that. Thank you so much. Thanks again.
Okay.